only dealing with the child labor issue that is arising all over the world. ILO also, you know, have some other areas wherein they are contributing a lot. One among them again is forced labor. The ILO has considered the fight against forced labor to be one of its main priorities. So along with child labor, they have some priority list wherein this forced labor is also a critical issue to be dealt with. Since 1960s, declaration of labor standards as a component of human rights have been weakened by government of post-colonial countries, claiming a need to exercise extraordinary powers over labor in their roles as emergency regimes promoting rapid economic development. Now, when we talk about forced labor, that is, there are bonded labors are also called as forced labors. That means you make it compulsion for a person. So now this may be possible in economies where workers are at a very deprived position. Though it fastens the economic development because the cost of labor here goes down. And you know, profit maximization is very high, but then it deprives a human being to live with dignity and status. So somewhere ILO wants you know, to abolish this forced labor system from all over the world. Minimum wage law. To protect the right of laborers for fixing minimum wage. So now when we talk about say workforce, there are countries who have abundance of workforce, like country like India, which has second highest population, has abundance of workforce. So what happens when you have too much of workforce available in your country, you try to exploit those workforce by giving them minimum. But here we are talking about minimum wage that needs to be paid for a particular work done by an employee. So again, this comes into their agenda that every country, you know, should pay minimum wage, which allows the employee to cope up with its livelihood. To protect the right of laborers for fixing minimum wage, ILO has created Minimum Wage Fixing Machinery Convention. So here also they have passed one convention wherein they have formed a machinery who decides on the fixing of minimum wages in 1928. Minimum Wage Fixing Machinery. Agriculture Convention also. Now we have divided into organized, unorganized industries and agriculture. So for agriculture also we have a separate convention when passed by ILO in 1951. And Minimum Wage Fixation Convention, which came into 1970 as Minimum Wage Law. So now here ILO request the member nation to, or we cannot say request, but to follow the convention by passing a law which allows you know, the employee to write for its minimum wage right. HIV and AIDS. The International Labour Organization is the lead UN agency on HIV workplace policies and programs and private sector mobilization. So even the UN nation, United Nations is dealing with this issue of HIV and AIDS, but that is concerned with, you know, not depriving a human being of from the freedom of living, but here we take it as you know, participation of that human being suffering from HIV and AIDS in workforce also. So there should be some you know, strict policies which do not discriminate you know, recruitment of such people into organizations. ILO recognizes that HIV has a potentially devastating impact on labor and productivity and represents an enormous burden for few working people, their families and communities. ILO AIDS is the branch of ILO dedicated to this issue. Now as we have EPIC, who is dealing into child labor, similarly we have ILO AIDS who is dealing into, you know, the possible changes that can be made in the policies relating to the workers who are suffering from HIV and AIDS. Now talking about migrant workers are those workers who have to move from place to place for their jobs. So we need to have some sort of security for these type of workers as well. So here, as the word migrant suggests, migrant workers refer to those who move from place to place to do their jobs. For the right of migrant workers, ILO has adopted conventions including Migrant Workers Supplementary Provision Convention, which was passed in 1975, who actually recommends some of the areas wherein this migrant workers could also get some privileges. And United Nations Convention on the Protection of Rights of All Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families in 1990. So a convention was also passed in United Nations in 1990 related to this migrant workers. Domestic workers. Domestic workers are those who perform a variety of tasks for and in other people's homes. Now, they are not into organized sector, but they are a type of workers who are helping, you know, to do some household works and helping the families to do their works. So these type of workers are called as domestic workers. Now say for example, any person hired to clean the house is an example of domestic workers. Say for example, a cook hired to cook for me. Or my family becomes a domestic worker. They are not directly associated with some industry or organization. Now here they have given various examples. They may be cook, clean the house, look after children, yet they are often the ones with the least consideration, excluded from labor and social protection. So when we talk about industrial workers, there are so many laws and rules designed to protect their security and minimum wage. But these are some people who are, you know, deprived of such rights. So ILO also wants to cover domestic workers under the labor laws. This is mainly due to the fact that women have traditionally carried out the task without pay. Now here, taking it other way, in the earlier point we have discussed that a person who is working for some other family. Now say for example, Miss A is going to Miss B's house for cooking and Miss B pays Miss A a certain amount of money. Okay, so here now we take another example. Miss B working at her own house, you know, cooking for her own husband and children. So though the task performed is same, in case of Miss A, she was working for some other person's house or family, she was paid. But in case of Miss B, she is not being paid. Why? Because it is considered that women are, you know, supposed to carry out the household work traditionally and men are supposed to, go out and work. But then ILO wants to bring this also, under a payment system. So wherein this can be also considered in terms of money. For the rights and decent work of domestic workers, including migrant domestic workers, ILO has adopted Convention on Domestic Workers on 16 June 2011. ILO and globalization. What is globalization? Somewhere the process of improve technology, exchanges of technology between countries, exchange of workers in the countries, somewhere results into globalization. So seeking a process of globalization that is inclusive, democratically governed, which provides opportunities and tangible benefits for all countries and people. So now see, when we talk about globalization, migrating of people from one country to another country for job is also one criteria of globalization. So ILO somewhere looks into this criteria of globalization and wants to design some policies which take care of this area as well. The World Commission on the Social Dimension of Globalization was established by the ILO's governing body in February 2002. To look into this matter, a governing body was set up. That was in February 2002. The World Commission report a fair globalization, creating opportunities for all, is the first attempt at structured dialogue among representatives of constituencies with different interests and opinion on the social dimension of globalization. So not only, you know, looking forward to the economical dimension, globalization will definitely give us economic gains through exchanges of goods and services. But here, when we are talking about people who are, going from one country to another country to work, that also brings some social dimensions, dignity of those workers in other countries. Equal pay. Now say for example, in some areas of America, still they do not have a pay parity. The blacks are being paid less and the whites are being paid higher. So this type of issues are considered to be social issues. So to deal with such type of issues, a body was formed earlier. And then later it had a formal talk between all the member nations in process of globalization. That means not only we have economic gains, but we also have some social gains out of this globalization. Aimed at finding common grounds on one of the most controversial and divisive subjects of our time. According to ILO, decent work involves opportunities for work that is productive and delivers a fair income, security in the workplace and social protection for families, better prospects for personal development and social integration, freedom for people to express their concerns, organize and participate in the decisions that affect their lives, and equality of opportunity and treatment for all men and women. So here they have broadly defined what do you mean by decent work. So decent work is something wherein I am paid fairly according to the services provided by me. There is a freedom of exchange of opinions, there is security for me and my family, etc. The ILO is developing an agenda for the community of work represented by its tri-party constituents to mobilize their considerable resources to create those opportunities and to help reduce and eradicate poverty. So now ILO is not only looking after, designing of labor laws, policies, but somewhere they are also helping the member nations to have a balance. And, we can mobilize resources which are in abundance in one country to the country wherein they have a shortage of it, and we can have a balance in it. And through this process, somewhere we will be able to eradicate poverty also. The ILO Decent Work Agenda is a balanced and integrated programmatic approach to pursue the objectives of full and productive employment and decent work for all at global level, regional level, national level, sectorial level and local level. So they start with the global level, then it by applying those conventions in your own nations, you take it to national level, then state level, state to region, region to local. It has four pillar standards and rights at work: employment, creation and enterprise, development, social protection and social dialogue. So these stands as four pillars of decent work agenda. The only tri-party UN agency since 1919, the ILO brings together government, employer and worker representative of 187 member states to set labor standards, develop policies and devise program promoting decent work for all women and men. So the only tri-party UN agency, that means ILO, is the only agency who entertains tri-party consultation and helps them to smooth their industrial relations in their own country by devising the policy, by implementing the policy in their own country and forming a decent work culture in their country. And then slowly and steadily by the 187 members of the ILO, and slowly and steadily to the world level, we may be able to achieve a decent work culture. The unique tri-party structure of the ILO gives an equal voice to workers, employers and government to ensure that the views of the social partners are closely reflected in labor standards and in shaping policies and program. So here through this tri-party consultation, we are giving equal opportunity to the workers, employers to put their suggestion views and, you know, to give their own clarification on their own grounds. And also this tri-party consultation helps the government to identify the common points and design policies which can be implemented in their own countries. The main aim of the ILO are to promote rights at work, encourage decent employment opportunities, enhance social protection and strengthen dialogue on work-related issues. The driving force for ILO's creation arose from security, humanitarian, political and economic consideration. So these are the four grounds on which ILO works, that is security of employees, the lower classes. Humanitarian, that means not only employee working in an organization, but somewhere dignity is a right of every human being. Political and economic consideration. So when we talk about political, it comes to designing of laws, policies, rules and regulations by government. And together, this is going to, you know, give us some economic benefits as well. ILO Constitution's preamble states, universal and lasting peace can be established only if it is based upon social justice. So your ILO states that if we want, economic development, it is possible, but it is not possible without social justice. If any country thinks that without any social justice and only concentrating on the economic benefits coming out of employee will not be able to, you know, in a long run achieve economic development. And whereas conditions of labor exist involving such injustice, hardship and privation or to large numbers of people, as to produce unrest is so great that the peace and harmony of the world are impelled and the improvement of those conditions is urgently required. So explaining the first point, what ILO says is that if we only concentrate to the economic gains, what is going to happen? There will be so much of frustration among the employees. There will be so much injustice happening to the employees when we are only, looking those employees as economic gains. And we are not doing social justice to them by giving them fair treatment, good or better working conditions or a decent workplace. Then what is going to happen is they will face hardships and ultimately the frustrated employees are not going to produce or they are not going to have effectiveness and productivity in the industry, which overall will impact the industry as a whole. Then when many industries are being impacted, it will impact nation as a whole, and when this number of nations who are not following this decent work culture, this will create unrest in the whole world. Failure of any nation to adopt human condition of labor is an obstacle in the way of other nation which desires to improve the condition in their own countries. So here ILO is trying to explain that how one country can impact the working of other country. So if one country is not somewhere, trying to justify social justice in their country, somewhere the other member nations in that particular region may not be able to do so, whereas they are willingly or voluntarily wanting that to be implemented in their country. The areas of improvement listed in the preamble remains relevant today. For example, regulation of the hours of work, including the establishment of a maximum working day and week. So since so many years and so many conferences that are being held, there are some issues which are still relevant because many of the countries fail to implement such processes or rules and policies in their country. So few of them which they are discussed is regulation of hours of working. That means maximum working hours for any human being should be limited or decided well in advance. And depending on the physical capacity of the human being, the times need to be decided. How much mental pressure at a particular age or a skilled person can take at that moment of time also decides the maximum number of hours. regulation of labor supply, prevention of unemployment, and provision of adequate living wage. So when we are talking about living wage, somewhere this living wage helps us to decide the minimum wage. Now, living wage is depending on the inflation rate. That means, cater with my day-to-day livelihood expenses, how much money minimum I would require. So that somewhere will help the governments to fix the minimum wages in their countries. Protection of the worker against sickness, disease, and injury arising out of his employment. So any injury, any illness, or any medical complications that are being faced by an employee, and that is because of the employment condition, should be taken care of by the employer. Protection of children, young person, and women. So when we talk about protection of children, that is child labor. When we talk about young person, that means who have just crossed 14 years but is still not, he's still very young to perform certain tasks. And women who are physically not fit to perform some harmful processes or dangerous processes. Provision for old age and injury, that means any worker working since so long and now the physical condition of that person don't allow him to work, that is in old age, should also have the right to live with dignity, and still he need to be independent. So there should be some clauses, policies designed for such class of people. So in India we have pension scheme for people who are retired and who are old, they get their pensions. And for a longer period of time, if the employee is working in the organization, we do provide gratuities to them. So these are some social measures adopted by the countries and the employers to eradicate with such issues. Protection of the interest of workers when employed in countries other than their own. Recognition of the principle of equal remuneration for work of equal value. That means if I am working at par with the other person, same type of job, same types of skills I possess, I should be paid equally without any discrimination. Recognition of the principle of freedom of association. In India, we have implemented this through the trade unions and through the support of trade unions, organization of vocational and technical education and other measures. So in the earlier units we have also discussed that there are some directorate appointed which are specially looking into the training and vocational guidance of the workers. Role of ILO in labor administration. Many conventions and recommendations of ILO deal with labor inspection and labor administration. A particular mention may be made of. Now, in earlier unit also, we have discussed a lot about national labor administration in India and state level labor administration in India. So, somewhere, whatever we have followed, the hierarchy, the procedure, the methods are being taken care of with respect to the conventions and recommendations passed in ILO. So we take them as a guideline and we try to implement that in our country. So some of them are Labor Inspection Convention 81, which was passed in 1947. And you can see in India, we have reflected this labor inspection into Factories Act 1948. We have mentioned about this labor inspection in that act. Labor inspection with respect to agriculture convention was passed, that is 129 in 1947. And Labor Administration Convention 150, which was passed in 1978 and which is still, acting as a guideline for India to design their labor administration. Role of ILO in labor administration. The relevant recommendations are Labor Inspection Recommendation, Labor Inspection Mining and Transport, Recommendation number 82, Labor Inspection with respect to agriculture, Labor Administration Recommendation 158. Besides, many other conventions and recommendations also contain provision related to labor inspection and labor administration. So apart from this, there are various other conventions also which are related to the labor administration of the member nations. It requires the government to maintain a system of labor inspection for the purpose of securing the enforcement of legal provision. So here in the convention number 81, why they have, you know, given a provision of labor inspection? So that, you know, the laws or the legal binding on the employers are being checked and controlled, and the imposition of law is being maintained. Conditions of work and protection of workers while engaged in their work, supplying technical information and advice to workers and employers, and bringing to the notice of the competent authorities defects or abuses not covered by law. So here the intention and the objective mentioned by ILO for labor inspection is not only, you know, to have a proper check and control, but here the other point of view which they have given is, if the labor inspection is being done regular on the regular basis, we also identify some loopholes which are not covered through law. So this same can be reported to the concerned authority, and we can come out of this loopholes by designing some more policies. India ratified the convention except its part 2 in 1949. The Labour Inspection Agriculture Convention contains similar provision for the purpose of enforcement of labour laws and rules in agriculture. So here India has given a due importance to the conventions which were passed by the ILO. Talking about Labour Administration Convention number 150, which was passed in 1978. The key ILO standard on labor administration are ILO Convention 150 and its accompanying recommendations. That means to support the 150 convention, there were some recommendations which were not ratified with majority of the countries or the member nations. But then these recommendations, if implemented, will help us to implement the convention number 150 in our country. These standards provide the basic international legal framework for the proper functioning of any labor administration system. And somewhere if you see the conventions and the recommendations mentioned for labor administration convention, many of them are implemented while designing the labor administration in India. So somewhere we can identify that ILO has contributed a guideline or a legal framework for our country as well to set up a labor administration in India. Other contributions of ILO in the field of labor administration and inspection are helping member states in the establishment of efficient labor inspectorates to ensure the implementation and enforcement of labor laws, identifying gaps in such laws and proposing remedial measures. So your ILO, your in his convention, is not only suggesting the or recommending the countries to have a proper inspection set up in their countries, but they are also helping them with to implement this in their own country. How they can implement this, how they can identify the gaps, how they can rectify these gaps, advising employers and workers on compliance with such laws and regulations. Rendering help to associate employers and workers and their organization with the help of labor inspection services. So here somewhere, they are taking all along employers, employees and the agencies of labor inspection to come together and work for the betterment and growth. Strengthening the links between labor inspectorates and the various competent bodies concerned with the prevention of occupational accidents and disease. So here in this point particularly, they want to prevent the accidents taking place on the workplace due to varieties of reasons, and the diseases that are the reason of the processes that takes place in the employment. With the establishment of GLAD, that is the Government and Labor Law and Administration Department, to deal with the questions involved in labor administration, the functions of the department include strengthening ministries and related agencies responsible for labor policy and administration. So this particular committee was set up to deal with the labor administration related issues, that what the member nations are finding difficult to implement in their particular countries. So here this committee helps to identify the sets of procedures that can be implemented in the particular country and to solve the difficulties faced by those countries. And there are also agencies which are, helping to draft labor policies for that particular countries. Promoting labor laws and civil service regulation in conformity with the standards and principles of ILO. Assisting public sector administrators in establishing effective and constructive relationship with their staff representatives. So here we are somewhere talking about more about, bettering or improving the relationship in the industry through effective and constructive relations with their staff and representatives. Now, talking about India, we have a National Commission on Labor. It is an Indian statutory body to recommend the changes in the labor laws. Now, this particular commission or the National Commission on Labor is designed to have a research on how the labor laws, labor policies can be improvised timely. The first National Commission on Labor was set up on 24 December 1966. So again, we can see a linkage between whatever was discussed in ILO and the implementation of the same in India. So this particular commission will always look to improvise the labor policies which are formed and implemented, and they will identify the loopholes, gaps, and again, repeating the process over and over till the time we are not able to, fill that loophole or a gap. The commission submitted its report in August 1969 after detailed examination of all aspects of labor problems, both in the organized and unorganized sector. So this particular commission, after a lot of research, in August 1969 have given report which consists of the list of problems that are being faced by the laborers in their respective industries, both organized and unorganized sector. The second National Commission on Labor was set up on 15 October 1999, which submitted its report to the Prime Minister on 29 June 2002. So now the first commission was set up in 69. After few years, after the submission of reports and various researches, the member of the commission may be, changed. And so the second National Commission was set up in 1999. So here we have seen how ILO, have an intensive research, collection of information and data, and is providing statistics on the world level, which is indeed helping the member nations to devise policies in their own nations, implementing those effectively in their own nations, and taking ILO conventions as guidelines for framing labor policies in their country, which indeed are helping the member nations to improve the industrial relations in their own country. Thank you very much.